Hello and welcome to 433. This is a program dedicated to contemporary classical, avant-garde, experimental, and new music. Just how experimental do we get around here? Pretty experimental. Tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. on CITR 101.9 and get experimental. Hello and welcome to a very special broadcast of 433 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Tonight on the program, we have a pleasure of talking long distance to an accomplished Toronto composer, Nick Storing. Welcome to the program, Nick.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for calling in long distance.
Okay. Now,
while our phone conversation has been in the works for quite some time, I'm sure some of our listeners may wish to learn a little bit more about Nick Storing. Well, Nick is an award-winning composer of electroacoustic and electromechanical music. His distinctions include the Toronto Emerging Composer Award of 2011 and the first place in Jeu de Ton competition in 2008 for electroacoustic music for a work called Artifacts, which was actually based entirely on sounds from a near-broken violin. He has been working as a composer of chamber and recording-based music in cross-media collaborations and improv ensembles. Nick's work has been performed by the Esprit Orchestra, Thin Edge New Music Collective, and Array Music, amongst many other music ensembles. He is currently scoring Terence Odette's next feature film, Fall, and working on a commissioned piece for pianist Yves Egoyan, which is set to premiere next year. Nick Storing writes for the Music Works magazine, and he will soon be opening what I can only imagine will be an incredibly creative space in downtown Toronto, so keep your ears tuned. Now, I suppose the first time I heard Nick play was about 6 years ago, and back then, he was working with audio looping techniques on his cello and experimenting with various electronic and electroacoustic textures. When I was in Toronto last, Nick and I tried to remember that particular concert, but we're at odds about the dates. Needless to say, that concert totally blew me away. So Nick, maybe I can ask you, what mediums and techniques are you presently experimenting with?
Well, I guess my practice falls into sort of main categories and some sort of subcategories in there. And both of them sort of share the same sort of interests. I'm working a lot, as you said, in chamber music, and then also a lot of things, sort of music that I do myself at home. And in both areas, I'm really interested in timbre. But in a way that's not, I don't know, that draws on more than just sort of the, maybe more is the wrong word, but I like to draw on sort of a diverse sort of range of timbres from instruments. So I like to get into sort of the vocabulary of extended techniques that have been established already, but also into things that, you know, that are more unconventional, that you hear in improvised music, you hear or maybe they're not that unconventional, you know, in something like certain Asian musics, where sort of extended techniques are sort of more seamlessly blended with the regular sort of vocabulary techniques. So I'm interested in that sort of that whole spectrum. Like, so, and that's something that's common to both my recording-based music and my chamber music. Nope. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm always exploring instruments, and when I write for chamber ensembles, I tend to sort of really get into the instruments that I'm going to be writing for, and trying to learn about them firsthand, and exploring what they can do, even as an amateur, because I find that really intriguing. And sometimes you can come up with these really interesting techniques, and then I find ways of articulating them. And in my recording-based music, it's basically, you know, layered over. Frequently, it's very much just sort of layered over instruments, like one would hear in a chamber ensemble. But it's, you know, my idiosyncratic approach to all these instruments. So, you know, it may not always be sort of the top-notch playing, but what does come out is sort of a different personality. It also liberates me from having to write down these techniques and just sort of go for them and find them, discover them, and then zero in on them and sort of edit them into the piece. So, and within that sort of recording-based category, in addition to using a lot of creating a lot of works where I'm layering different instrumental textures on top of each other, I'm working with sort of with some processing with not digitally so much. I use a little bit of equalization and all that stuff, but I've been really interested in feeding the recordings of these instruments, which I play myself, back through other instruments or back through sort of resonant things. Like, for instance, I'll do something like, you know, I'll play some notes on a harp, and then use a transistor speaker on a cymbal to send those notes through the cymbal. So you get the resonance of the cymbal, but with the notes of the harp. So in a sense, it's like a acoustic convolution, or, you know, a principle sort of similar to like comb filtering and that kind of thing in the digital realm, but done acoustically. So that's been a real interest of mine.
So I suppose
that about sums it up. I mean, those are my two main.
Yeah, I suppose what you're doing is you're extending the techniques of extended techniques and recording your recordings, but our listeners have yet to hear the results. Now, this year, Notice Recordings, a Portland and New Orleans-based label, will be releasing two of your works on the album Acceptations. Now, one of these works uses what you call electromechanical processing and tapes, and you record your instruments with a cassette player, processing the sounds manually. The other work, called Field Lines, from which we will play an excerpt on the show, uses a lot of different acoustic and electromechanical instruments, but has a more standard layered instrument technique. So first of all, let me ask you, what are some of the distinctions between electroacoustic and electromechanical methods?
Well, for me, like, some wouldn't make this a distinction necessarily, but I've been, because of where I've moved in the last little bit, I've kind of made that distinction for myself primarily. But I think listeners might find that intriguing as well. So I guess electroacoustic is a more broad category that encompasses, you know, digital processing, you know, using plugins and whatnot, or outboard processors, analog stuff, so, you know, using analog versions of that kind of stuff. And it would also encompass using sort of electromechanical things. So in that category, I would put things like spring reverb, or a talk box, or using transistor speakers, or playing sounds back through a room. And what the distinction is for me is, it's a very, very limited and basic sort of thing that relies just on speakers or amps or transistors and microphones, and then synthetic resonances. So a spring reverberation unit sends sound waves through an actual spring, and it's picked up on the other end. And so the principle is just, it's an extension of acoustic sound, whereas something that's done, you know, digitally is great. And I've used that quite a bit in the past, but lately I've been really interested in sort of limiting that. And so on this cassette that's coming out on Notice, the A side is a piece that's kind of more or less an ensemble piece with, you know, various percussion instruments, clavinet, electric piano, electric bass, electric mandola, cello, violin, some stuff like that. And the B side uses instrument sounds, a more limited range, electric piano, electric cello, electric bass, some other little things, and the rest of the music is achieved through running those sounds through other things. So I've put a transistor speaker on a tally plate, actually, and it creates these sort of, you know, sympathetic vibrations. And then in addition to that, I've recorded things onto a cassette Walkman, and then I manipulate the speed and those things with that, or just stopping and starting and playing it through these other sort of things. So the tape player is sort of, I guess, a form of analog processing, but the other stuff is very much tied to the acoustic sound world, which I think is really fascinating. And I found, like, to get a focus I was looking for, I wanted to limit myself to just using that, whereas before I was mainly using a lot of digital processing. So to me, it's strictly a personal thing. It's not really a manifesto of any sort. I find the results really intriguing, and it's something I'm going to continue to explore. But electroacoustics is sort of a broader concept, whereas the electromechanical sort of thing is a subset, I guess, of that in a way.
Of course, and I mean, electroacoustic has a long and varied history as well. Last week we played a piece by John Cage called Imaginary Landscapes Number 1, which was written in 1939, just to imagine, right? The work featured two variable speed turntables, frequency recordings, and a muted piano, right? So perhaps the essence of electroacoustic music is to either incorporate or fully feature a kind of electronic sound production, whereas electromechanical would be, you know, all the things that you specified. Should we perhaps give our listeners a little excerpt from Field Lines, a 24-minute work that was created for Yvonne Ng's dance piece Magnetic Fields and premiered in May last year? Does that sound good to you, Nick?
Yeah, it was actually just premiered in May this year. So just a few weeks ago. It feels like a long time ago, but it was around the same time that you were in Toronto. But I think that would be a good thing to play, just a little taste of that listeners, yeah.
All right, we'll give it a little excerpt. And this is Field Lines from the forthcoming album, Exaptations. The piece is 24 minutes long, but we'll do about a 6-minute excerpt. Thank you. And we're back on 433 with a composer, Nick Storing, who's calling in from Toronto. We've just heard Field Lines from the forthcoming release, Acceptations. Now, Nick, this work has both a very playful, percussive, and sparse rhythmic element. Perhaps we can get you back on air in just a few seconds. As well as a flowing, a textured component represented by stringed instruments. I'm going to keep playing the work, and we'll get you back on the phone. Thank you. Nick, we have you back on the air. Now, about the work Field Lines, I wanted to say that this work has both a very playful, percussive, and sparse rhythmic element, flowing, textured component also, represented by stringed instruments. It's as if this juxtaposition replays forces of attraction and repulsion of electromagnetic fields. Now, when forces repel, it's as if we heard magnets clanging together, but when they attract, they flow very smoothly together. So I was wondering, does this stem from any kind of creative or perhaps personal synergies and dissonances, or should we interpret this work more abstractly?
Well, the piece was created for, as you mentioned, a choreographical work by Yvonne Ng. And a lot of those aspects that you're mentioning are very, it's very ambiguous in the dance work. And in my own piece, that sort of was the accompaniment to that, I would say that it's fairly abstract. Definitely there was an interest in juxtaposition and kind of like, I guess, opposites in a sense. Where the work goes in the end is very different from what the listeners heard. It's very sort of sweet and kind of nostalgic and almost bordering on a new agey sort of thing with strings. It's very lush. So that was very interesting to me during the creative process, but it's not really expressing anything, and neither is much of my music. It's very sort of, for me, there's definitely emotional things that are touched upon, but it's very abstract.
Now, basically, within your explorations of sound, do you think that, how would you begin composing a new piece? Would you say that you begin by experimenting with various instruments and media, creating and refining a piece of music, or do you sit down already knowing what you're going to compose for a set number of instruments, for a certain length, etc.?
It really depends. Sometimes there are parameters around that. Like, if it's a commission, obviously
Well, let's assume that we've briefly lost Nick again, but let's play a sample from another album forthcoming this year called Endless Conjecture, released by a Brooklyn label called Orange Milk Records. This album will feature four of Nick Storing's works of various lengths, exploring extended techniques of acoustic and electromechanical instruments. And the piece that we'll feature is called They Carry Light, which was also going to be featured in Mikael Gillen's short film, The Natural State. They Carry Light from Endless Conjecture. Piece is 13 and a half minutes long, but we'll play another 5-minute excerpt, and then we'll ask Nick some more questions. Thank you. And that was an excerpt from a forthcoming release by Nick Storing called They Carry Light. Now, Nick, maybe I can rephrase my question just to get back to it. Is all of life, in a way, a tightly controlled experiment, or do you allow certain decisions to occur through improvisation, experimentation, and chance in your compositions?
I don't typically use chance at all, but I'm a big advocate of a very intuitive process. So it's always a question of making decisions and being decisive, but I'm navigating all of that intuitively. So I wouldn't say it's all a big experiment. It's very tightly controlled in some ways. But the way I work is very, very intuitive.
Would it be accurate to say that this was the first time that this work was being broadcast to perhaps a radio audience or in its mastered version?
Yeah, that would be totally accurate.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for giving us a chance to share it with our Vancouver and perhaps international audiences. And you use a handheld cassette recorder as a means of processing, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a newer sort of thing that I've used, mainly on this piece that's that's coming out on Exaptations. It doesn't have a name yet. I haven't finished it, but that's been a sort of a new sort of it's sort of like me making a concession to sound manipulation again, because with the work Gardens that you're going to play a little bit of later, I really stripped things back and just used instruments, and prior to that I was using a lot of digital stuff. And so the handheld thing is a bit of a way that I can kind of, that feels a little more physical and tactile and more like playing an instrument to me. So, yeah, I do use that occasionally, but it's not heard in this piece or in much else that you're playing tonight, actually. So
now, you know, before I say much more, the first time I heard you play, and from what I'm hearing now, it seems that your work has become a lot more assured and forthright. And in a way, it's kind of stripping away a lot of its unnecessary embellishments. Do you feel that you personally have grown as a composer?
I didn't catch that last little bit. Do I feel like I'm sorry?
Do you feel that you have grown as a composer?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, you know, I would hope so. I'm always striving to sort of, you know, develop as a composer, I guess. And so, yeah, I think over the past few years, I've found more of a sort of consistent thing, a more consistent aesthetic, sort of naturally. I was looking for ways to bring my interests all together in a way that was more cohesive since about 2009. I made an album called Rife that came out on a label called Untracked, and that was all electronic sort of stuff. And following that, my goal was to sort of start creating music that really felt like me all across different sort of media. So whether I'm writing for an ensemble or writing or creating the work in the studio at home, or whether I'm creating work for dance or creating work for film, I wanted it to feel like an extension of what I hear just of my own accord. And so I made sort of certain concessions, I guess, did strip things back. Like I did strip back sort of my use of electronic processing, just simply so I could kind of bring all that into sort of the same world, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that's sort of my rationale for it.
Well, you know, I feel that a lot of your music actually relies on understatement and on a kind of minimalist gesture that imparts a lot of meaning, nevertheless. So this is why I actually really wanted to play this next piece, and I'm very fond of it. We've featured it on the program before. And it's called Gardens. This work will be coming out in the fall on the Scissor Tail Editions label from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you described Gardens as really a departure from previous forms of digital processing to a kind of more layered ensemble music. I know that you've partially answered this question, but let me probe you a little further and ask, in this digital era where, you know, all of our films, music, everything is seeped in through the binary code and digital forms of processing, why have you moved away from that? So analog and more perhaps authentic sounds.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in a way, I haven't. I mean, I know that's sort of contrary to what you're saying, but I haven't left that altogether. In fact, I rely on it very heavily to create my work, because I'm doing this, I wouldn't be able to do it. It would be ridiculous. I do use recording software, and I use an interface to record. I mean, the technology that's available at...
Now, Nick, I'm afraid we're losing little parts and snippets of you, but I think that we can remedy that. However, I do want to feature Gardens once again, and then we will perhaps from this kind of postmodern collage of a radio show, try to piece together some of the thoughts and some of the ways that we're talking about Nick Storing's composition. This is a piece called Inside Every Man There Lives a Seed of a Flower. This is from Scissor Tail Editions, and the piece is called Gardens Number 5.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was from Gardens. Inside every man, there lives a seed of a flower. Scissor Tail Editions, a track by the composer Nick Storing. Unfortunately, Nick and I had a little bit of connection trouble on the phone. But I assure you, it is only over the phone. Otherwise, we could talk and talk for hours. Nick, I'm so glad to have you back on air. Now, let's hope this stays for the next 10 minutes, 8 minutes. I wanted to say about Gardens that I find that there's something extremely uplifting but also nostalgic about this music, but also the title. I was wondering if you could tell us where the title of this work comes from.
Well, Gardens was created as a sort of tribute to the producer, Charles. A lot of different soul music and stuff throughout the 60s and 70s, including... You can hear me?
Well, we are dropping in and out, but for those of us who can hear the snippets... Nick is talking about the work itself being based on a book of poetry. Now, maybe you can give us another clue as to who the poet is.
It's not based on a book of poetry, actually. Charles Stepney, who produced the album Come to My Garden by Minnie Riperton, who's a soul singer from the 60s. And 70s, so that's where the titles come from. Is they're all based on either the lyrics from that album or the titles of the songs themselves.
Well, thank you for correcting me. I was wondering if there's anything in that poetry to suggest that Nick Storing himself is going back to the roots, so to speak, in those lyrics. Are you perhaps seeking something that is more bare, but more evocative in your musical composition?
I think that would be partially true, yeah. But the main thing was more the way in which Stephanie used the studio in conjunction with acoustic instruments, and that really fascinated me, and to me was an interesting source of inspiration on the album. So that was actually the where it all comes from. It's more a reference to that than going back to one's roots, mm-hmm. I guess.
And just to finish off our short conversation, but good conversation, I was wondering, what should we anticipate from you in the upcoming months?
Well, I mean, you've sort of summarized it quite a bit. I have a solo piano piece that I'm composing for Eva Goyen that's coming out, that's going to be performed soon in the next year. And I've got those three albums you've mentioned, the film score for Terrence Odette, Fall. I also will be working in a program in Ottawa with high school kids where I'll be placed in a classroom and working with high school kids to compose a piece cooperatively. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be an interesting experience where we'll be sort of co-composing a piece together. Yeah, that's sort of the gist of it. I that's what I've got lined up, and a bunch of stuff I don't know yet. I've also got a piece for a group called Stealth. It's a duo of Richard Burrows, who plays percussion, and Catherine Ladano, who plays bass clarinet. So I'm finishing that up shortly as well.
Sounds great. And if listeners are more curious to find out more about you and your music, is there perhaps a website that you can refer us to?
Yeah, my own website is nickstoring.ca, STORRING.ca. And I have a SoundCloud too. You can look me up by my name on there and find some sound samples and whatnot.
Okay, that's wonderful. Perhaps to close off the program, we're going to give a little snippet of a string quartet. The title for the piece is Stance. Do you want to say a couple of words about this, or should we just launch into it?
Yeah, this is played at the Soundstreams Emerging Composer Workshop this year. So there are a bunch of us there working with a string quartet to to have our pieces realized. And so it was I came in with part of the piece finished, but kind of finished it during the workshop and was quite pleased with the result. It's my third piece for string quartet.
Well, Nick, and I wanted to thank you so much for calling in. We apologize for the connection troubles, but from what we did get to hear from you, it was very wonderful to hear you. And we hope to see you on the West Coast sometime soon as well. I wish you all of the success in your future work. So thank you for appearing on air.
Thank you very much.
And this has been 433, a program dedicated to contemporary classical, experimental, avant-garde, and new music. If you liked what you heard or would like to hear it again, you can always download the podcast available at citr.ca or my website, theoryofhappiness.com, under the 433 tab. Or you can follow my Twitter for future updates and fun at citr_433. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. It's like having a clown in your head.